Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, and we're going to continue today looking at St. Paul's teaching from his letter to the Romans. And the reading we're given today is from chapter 7, where Paul is focusing on the battle within us, the law of sin that's at work in us. One part of us wants to do the will of God. Another part wants to follow the reign of sin in our lives. So there's a lot to be learned in this passage, and it's something I think every single one of us, I know every single one of us can relate to. And it's part of Paul's addressing the reality of sin in this letter and its impact on us, but also it's our victory over sin and the habit patterns of sin that often inflict us because of decisions we've made and the concupiscence of our own flesh. And the rest in Romans 8, which we'll probably touch on next week, gets into Paul's understanding of the freedom that we've been given in the power of the Holy Spirit to subdue what he calls subduing the desires of the flesh by putting to death the desires of the flesh through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about just simply us willing, like Avis, we just try harder. The church isn't just saying, hey, you try harder, to overcome the challenges and struggles that you're facing, that I'm facing. The church is exhorting us to do that, but she does it with mercy and kindness in her heart, but with great conviction, knowing that there's a power now at work in us through the gift and presence and power of the Holy Spirit that enables us now to operate from a different internal principle, a new principle, the principle of life, the principle of the power of the Holy Spirit, the principle that raised Jesus from the dead. The Spirit gives us new clarity of mind, gives us a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life. And Paul will say in Romans 8, he said, but you're no longer in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God dwells in you, and he'll say, he reminds us, you're in the Spirit now. You don't have to yield to the temptations of your mind and your flesh that rise up. You can learn to subdue them and put them to death through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So here's the reading from today, Romans 7. Brothers and sisters, I know that good does not dwell in me, that is, in my flesh. The willing is ready at hand, but doing the good is not. So he said, I'm willing, I want to do the right thing, but end up doing it. I often don't do it, is what he's saying. For I do not do the good I want, but I do the evil I don't want. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So then, I discover the principle that when I want to do right, evil is at hand. For I take delight in the law of God in my inner self, but I see in my members another principle at war with the law of my mind, taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Miserable one that I am, who will deliver me from this mortal body? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Before I reflect on this passage a little bit, I just want to read a commentary on this particular verse, this section from the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible from the New Testament, the Second Catholic Edition. And he's reflecting here on the passages from verse 7 through 25, which is a portion of what I've just read to you. Paul contemplates the mystery of sin and man's natural inability to resist it. He defends the law of Moses as innocent and good, but accuses sin of murder and enslavement. To dramatize this, he personifies sin as a predator lurking in our members who deceives, kills, and wages war on our desire to follow God. Paul's approaching these issues from a Christian perspective, where the experience of grace magnifies the reality of sin. His consciousness of sin was not nearly so acute when he was a Pharisaic Jew. The law was given neither to create, Paul talks about the law here. He said the law was given neither to create sin nor to remove sin, but merely to make it known. Thus the law, in giving the soul a sense of guilt rather than innocence, makes it ready to receive the grace of God. So it's a little helpful perspective there. And so Paul is saying there is a principle at work in me. And the principle is traditionally called concupiscence, or our fallen human nature. It's at war against my mind, my desire to do what God wants me to do. There's another principle at work, another power at work that directs me toward, that tempts me toward, that leaves me vulnerable to temptation and choosing that which God commands me not to choose. So Paul is saying, miserable one that I am, who will deliver me from this mortal body, from this battle within, this battle of the flesh? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, which will set up, now that's the end of chapter 7, that will set up Paul going into chapter 8 now, talking about new life in the Holy Spirit. He's giving thanks to God for specific reasons, for in the giving us the gift of Jesus Christ, the Lord. And just to remember that just the words, Jesus Christ, our Lord, it was the fundamental, like a summary of the core of what Christianity, the early church, lived by and understood and declared. First of all, Jesus. Jesus means what? Means Savior. He's the one who's come to save us. From what? From this very power that Paul's talking about. The power of sin and death. And this principle at work within us. And he's Christ. Means, what does that mean? He's Messiah. That means he's anointed. The anointed one of God. The Messiah of God. What does Messiah mean? Anointed. Anointed with what? Anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is in Jesus. And by becoming one of us in the flesh, by becoming human, born of Mary, bearing human flesh, Jesus, the power of the Spirit, is united to human flesh in a way it was never united in anyone else, in the person of Jesus. The very life of God is present in him. The Holy Spirit that overshadowed him, that led him. We hear this in the gospel, especially the gospel of Luke, on baptism. In baptism, I mean, Jesus didn't receive the Holy Spirit for the first time. There was never a time when Jesus was not united to the Father and the Son. But the commission of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit, the mission of the Spirit is released in Jesus at baptism. And he begins his mission. And he goes right into the desert and he begins to do spiritual warfare against the tempter. So what Jesus came to do, remember, he says, John the Apostle tells us in his first letter, he said that Jesus came, the reason he came was to destroy the work of the devil. And he came to destroy the regime of power, including this principle that he's talking about that's in our members, the principle of sin, our fallenness, our tendency toward it, is part of the regime of the world, the flesh, and the devil, conniving together to resist God and to resist God's commands. Jesus goes right to the desert and under the anointing of the Spirit, and he is attacked by the devil. The devil seeks to tempt him three different ways. I won't go into those all now, but to tempt him, and then Jesus overcomes the temptation. Scripture says the devil, you know, backs off and he's going to circle back at another time. And so Jesus is stalking the enemy is stalking him, and there's a real conflict that goes on. And the Spirit of God is in Jesus, united to his human flesh, and he ultimately has victory over him, over Satan, by drawing him into the cross, by being a lamb who does. Jesus goes to the cross as a lamb to be slaughtered, to be literally to offer his life for, in sacrifice for sin, to destroy the devil's hold, his claim over us. Because this principle's in us, because we say yes to sin, we violate the commandments of God, we stand under judgment, we have no hope in this world, as St. Paul says. Jesus comes to break that curse that's on us. And he does it by obeying the Father in perfect love all the way to the end, even unto death. He offers up his life as a living sacrifice. Scripture says there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Jesus is pure, holy blood of the magnificent sacrifice of Jesus, the eternally valuable, infinite, good sacrifice of Jesus, the offering of his life in love, becomes the means by which the whole human race can be saved. Because Jesus, the second Adam, gives to God what Adam was meant to give, as I mentioned earlier this week, and he makes this offering of love, and then through it, we can have access to that deed that Jesus, through which Jesus destroyed death on the cross, having disarmed the principalities and powers, and he passed from death to life. He has victory over this whole regime of power. And now if we're baptized into Jesus, we get a share in his life. We get a share in his Holy Spirit, which empowers us now to have authority over that regime in our own lives. We are now, Paul makes clear, there's another principle in us. It's the principle and presence and power of the person of the Holy Spirit. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Scripture reminds us. So there's a power in me now that I'm made capable by God and by his grace and by his mercy and his presence to begin to cooperate with the work of Jesus and to subdue the enemies of God at work against me, around me and in me. I can subdue them now with the help of the Holy Spirit and the graces that were given through the church, through the sacraments, through God's word, and the rest of it together. I now can begin to gain greater and greater freedom in my life over this domination of sin that Paul is talking about. He ends up doing the very things he doesn't want to do at times. And the saints are living examples for us of the progress that we can make. We all can totally relate to Paul, knowing that we end up doing the very things we don't want to do at times. Because there's a principle in us that leads us in that direction. But now there's something new in us that will lead us progressively to greater and greater degrees of being set apart for God, being sanctified, being made holy, being conformed to the person and the image of Jesus Christ. The writer of the letter of Hebrews says, you have not yet resisted sin to the point of shedding your blood. Jesus did. We haven't. But we can follow in Jesus' footsteps. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, which means if you want to be my follower, if you want to learn my life and walk with me and follow me, part of that is I'm going to lead you to Calvary. In your life, you're going to put to death sin's dominion over you and exercise the freedom you've been given now in the Holy Spirit to become everything you were meant to be by your choice, saying yes to the offer of this new life and entering into a relationship with God that will allow us to step by step be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And it's a battle all the way to the end to stay in this process, to not be seduced by the world, the flesh, or the devil, and to die in a state of grace, to die in Christ. If we die in Christ, he will present us to the Father, and he will finish the purification that goes on. The saints understood that the most important thing that can happen on earth is for you to become a saint, because that's the fulfillment of our created purpose. That's the fulfillment of everything we were meant to have and be and to live in. And so that can't happen without God's grace working through us in Christ and the Holy Spirit, but it can happen without our yes. Our part is to say yes again and again and again. And when we fall, to repent and get back up, don't listen to all the condemnation of the devil. Forget it. What he's going to do, he's going to try to discourage you. Oh, you fell again. Man, you're just worthless. You're just no good. He's got to be done with you. I mean, he's got to be so frustrated with you. And it's better that you just give up. Give in, quit, let go. That's the one thing you'll never hear the Lord say to you. And anytime you think those thoughts or feel those feelings, you need to fight them and rebuke them in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. That comes straight from hell. It never comes from God. Jesus is in your corner 100% of the time. He's all in all the time. And his disposition toward you is radical, total, unreserved love. That means mercy, compassion, kindness, understanding. And he's here to bring you home to the Father. And he knows the battle that you're fighting. Scripture was clear. He was like us in every way but sin. He was tempted, but sin never had victory over him, and the devil never got a hold of him. But he knows what the fight is all about. So he's in your corner. And as we sum up this week, friends, that's an important thing to know and to receive. He's given you himself and his Holy Spirit. He's in your corner. He's going to bring you home to the Father. You just need to keep saying, yes, 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 Lord, and turning to him. God bless you, friends. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.